Well, the Mission on Missions is the mission, because we're going to talk today and tonight about what is it that God really wants from us. And I'm going to start that with this. Once upon a time, there was one person, and that person was Adam. Then God created Eve, and there was Adam and Eve. Then there was Adam and Eve. And then he said, be fruitful and multiply. And when they got to the time of Jesus, there were 2 million people. That was the population of the whole world. And then, as people were being fruitful and multiplying, by 1830 was the first time that we saw 1 billion people as the population of the entire world in 1830. So it took from the time of Adam and Eve till 1830 for there to be 1 billion people on this earth. So you started out with one person, then you had Adam and Eve, and then you go forward to 1830, you had 1 billion person. 100 years later, in 1930, is when we hit 2 billion people. Only 30 years later, in 1960, we hit 3 billion people, population of the whole world. 15 years later, in 1975, we hit 4 billion people. And then 14 years later, in 1989, we hit 5 billion. 10 years later, in 10 years later than that, 2011 is when we hit 7 billion people. 1999 is when we hit 6 billion. 7 billion was 2011. And then they're estimating by the year 2045, there will be 9 billion people in the world. 9 billion people. You know, I could really make this sermon last a long time if we could count from 1 to 9 billion. But that's a lot of people. But I want to look at all that just for you to realize 9 billion people from the start of just one person. And then God created Eve, and there were two people. But let's go back to those two people. We're here today, 2016, as of right before I came out here, I checked the population map or clock. We have 7,496,000,000 people. Just right before I came out here. But it started with two people. And as sad as it is, these two people got deceived by the serpent, which was Satan, and sin filled the whole world. And therefore, they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. And sin, at that time, with two people, came into the world. So as sad as that is, we have to understand that unless something was done this very day in 2016, unless something was done, there would be 7,496,000,000 people that had the sin nature that if they died, they would not be able to spend eternity with God. That's a lot of people, isn't it? We know in 20 years, in 2045, if something wasn't done, then what would happen is you would have 9 billion people. But praise God, something was done. For when Adam and Eve sinned, and even before Adam and Eve sinned, God set forth a provision for the redemption on our lives. God made a way out of sin. God was starting to make a way out of sin just for those two people. God has made a way out of sin for now, today in 2016, God had made a way out of sin for 7,496,000,000 people. And he started that all the way back to Genesis. For when you look in Genesis, you see that the Messiah was going to be born from a woman in Genesis 3:15. You see God's work in the redemption process of Jesus Christ from the very beginning of time all throughout the Bible. In Exodus, you see the story of the Passover lamb, where that Passover, when you put the blood over the door and the Spirit passed over, was a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ as the Passover lamb. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we are saved. In Leviticus, you talk about the high priest and who Jesus was. You go through places like Numbers, and you had the cloud and the fire, which represented God and Jesus. You go through Judges, and you see that Jesus is the judge, and he's the lawgiver that you see that way. You go to Nehemiah, and you see that Nehemiah represents the builder or the rebuilder of the walls, which represented Jesus is going to rebuild our lives from sin. So you see through all the Old Testament a picture and a shadow of Jesus Christ to save us from our sins, because at one time in the world there was one person, and then God created Eve and there were two people. And because of that sin, today, if we don't know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, there is 7.4 billion people that would never be able to spend eternity with God, because God is so holy, God cannot look upon sin. So God had to find a way for forgiveness of sin because of Adam and Eve and the sin nature in which we now carry in our lives. And so you see all throughout the Old Testament a foreshadowing of Jesus and how God is preparing the way for the New Testament when Jesus comes on the scene. And then in Matthew, you see Jesus as the Messiah. He is the Son of David. He is the King of the Jews. Jesus comes on the scene with 2 million people on the earth. And 200 million people on the earth, and he becomes the Son of God. He is the bridegroom, if you look at Matthew 9:15, talking about Jesus being the bridegroom. In Mark, he becomes the miracle worker. He is the one that is the servant, which I talked about Sunday night. He is the one that is the Holy One. In Luke, he becomes the Son of Man. And then in John, he becomes the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. He is the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. He is the bread of life who fills us. He is the light of the world. Then Jesus says, he is the I Am. He is the one that is I Am like God. He is the Good Shepherd, as he says in Psalms. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the true vine. And on that day when they took him and nailed him to the cross, and he shed his blood for you and me, he shed his blood at that time for 2 million people, that 200 million people that were in the world at that time. But he also shed his blood and was buried and rose up again to conquer death and sin for the 7.4 billion people that now we have here on earth. He is the Savior. God made a way because of the sin of the world for Jesus now to forgive our sins and to make us whole. And then all throughout the New Testament, with Acts, where the church started to grow, all throughout 1st and 2nd Corinthians, where they say Jesus is the last Adam, all the way through Thessalonians, where he is the soon, the coming King, to come back and take us with him. Isn't that going to be a glorious day? when Jesus comes back and takes us with him. He is the blessed hope, according to Titus. He is the friend that is closer than a brother. We read that. He is the blood that washes away my sins. The only way for true repentance, the only way for true forgiveness, is belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He is the way. He is the only way. He is the truth. He is the light. And by him we are saved. In James, he's the great physician. In 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he is the everlasting love. And then it gets to Revelation, and he is the King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. This is Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, 200 million people on that day, a long time ago, but not just for them, but the sins of everyone, past, present, and future. Jesus Christ died for the 9 billion people that will be here in 2045. Jesus died for them. And now here we are, 2016, and we are in an age in which God has called his people to share the Redeemer and to share what Jesus Christ can do with other people, and that is why we are here on this earth. If you are a born-again Christian, God has called you to share the Redeemer with other people, because we are the only ones with the answer, the true answer to happiness, the true answer to eternal life. We are the only ones that have that answer. And that answer is Jesus Christ. It is imperative that we share Christ in Pasadena, in Deer Park, in all of Texas, in the United States, and the world. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:11, rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. 7.4 billion people are in our world today. We have been called as God's people to share the gospel with them. I want you to watch this video, please.
So count the cost, brothers and sisters. This is not an invitation to an easy life. For 2,000 years, thousands and thousands of missionaries, the unnamed, no biographies written about them, just unnamed people of whom the world is not worthy, have counted this cost and put their lives at risk and reached the lost with the only message of salvation.
Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those who are staggering towards slaughter. So while millions and millions and millions of people are putting their trust on other things other than God, It is our focus as Christians and as children of God that there are some things that we must do to make sure that the 7.4 billion people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I trust Jesus. Tonight, millions of people in America are going to go home and we're going to watch a debate where they want to either trust Hillary or they want to trust Trump. I'm going to trust Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that can save America. Jesus is the one that can save the whole world. And as you saw in that video, there's just a few things that we must do as children of God here at First Baptist Church, Pasadena, Texas. Number one was this. Remember the word? It said be. Well, what are we going to be? Well, I believe that we need to realize that the main priority of our lives is to worship God and to make God known. We must be. It says, and do not seek what you will eat or what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. Jesus says that to us. Don't worry about what you should drink or eat or what you, and keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. All these things. But your Father knows that you need these things. And then Jesus says this, but seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Be a follower of God who wants to make God known wherever you go. That the main purpose in your life is to worship God and to make Him known to the people that are around you. That is what God needs. That's what God needs from His children today. The second thing was this. It said, pray. You know, in Luke 11, it says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. So what do we do? What I believe we do as children of God is this. We pray. We pray, first of all, that God will send people all around the world to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. For I don't know if I'll ever get to China. I don't know if I'll ever get to India. I don't know if I'll ever be able to do that. But I know I can get on my knees, and it promises in God's word that if I pray, that God will honor that prayer. So could you imagine this whole auditorium? We're on our knees praying for the salvation of 7.4 billion people and God answering that prayer. That's what God needs from us. He needs us to be. He needs us to pray. Pray for the salvation of the souls of the world daily. But not only praying for the salvation of the souls daily, but pray every day, God, use me as your missionary right here where I live. God, if I want to make you known and if I want to worship you, pray daily, God, use me and make me your missionary here where I live. In Pasadena, Deer Park, LaPorte, Clear Lake, wherever it is you are, you pray and say, God, use me. You never know the one person that God uses you to get saved is the one that may surrender their life, and the next thing you know, they're on a plane to India to share the gospel with somebody in India. We don't know that. We do not know God's plans for everybody's life. But I do know this is God's plan, that we pray daily, and God, use me. Use me to share your word. And then it said in that video to multiply. Basically, that's just invite someone. Invite someone to come hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. One thing I love about this church, and I know you love about this church too, they preach the Bible. They preach the Word of God. And when you preach the Word of God, people are going to get saved. But how are people going to hear the Word of God unless, number one, we pray and take it to them, which is what we need to do, and two, we invite them to come and hear the Word of God also. It says in Acts that the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed peace. Now, why did they enjoy peace? Because they were together in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and they continued to increase. They increased because they were praying, they were going out, and they were sharing the gospel. The only true way to God is Jesus Christ. They were sharing that with people. And then in Acts 12, it says, but the word of the Lord continued to grow and to be multiplied. The word of God continued to grow and to be multiplied. When you share the word of God with people, it will be multiplied. And do you know what? The last thing is this, to go. And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Church, I believe that we are in an emergency. In 20 years, a little bit more than 20 years, we have 9 billion people on this earth. And unless I start, and Christians, and unless we start to go. Now, when I say go, I'm not talking about China. I'm talking about Pasadena, Deer Park, LaPorte, and share the gospel with the people. I believe that we are going to fall behind. And one day, according to Revelation, every knee will bow before an almighty Jesus Christ. And at that time, they will be judged whether they have Jesus Christ in their heart or do not have Jesus Christ in their heart. Since Jesus is the only way, we have the answer. There's a lot of answers out there, but we have the answer. It's time for us to go. We are in an emergency. To change this world has nothing to do with politics, has nothing to do with world leaders. As good as defeating hunger, that is good. As good as defeating people with water and giving them clean water, that's good. But that's not going to save the world. What's going to save the world is the good news of Jesus Christ. And God wants us to go. So the mission of the missions is the mission to go. Some of you can go farther, but you know what I'm saying. Nobody in this room can witness to 7.4 billion people, but you can witness to one. Or two, or three. It is imperative today that if you are saved by Jesus Christ, that our number one goal is to worship Him and to make Him known wherever we are. Amen? Let's bow our head. Father, I thank You for You sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And Father, when I think about the massive amount of people that are in this world, it's just overwhelming sometimes. But Father, you've just asked us to worship you, to make your name known. And God, I'm committing to do that tonight. And God, there may be people here that heard this, and in their heart, they're feeling the same tug at their heart. We've been putting our trust on so many things, but really what it all is about is sharing your name. So, Father, tonight is a call for commitment to your mission. To be someone who makes your name known. To pray for the salvation of the souls of the whole world. To multiply. To invite people to hear the gospel. And even to go. Go from the pews that are in this auditorium to a lost and dying world, because we have the answer, the only true answer. And we give you glory, God. Maybe you're here tonight and you have never asked Jesus in your heart, and you heard the story about Jesus and how he died for your sins. Well, you can ask Jesus in your heart tonight, and you can be saved. Just pray this prayer in your heart. Say, "Dear Jesus, I ask you into my heart. I ask you to save me and forgive my sins. Thank you for saving me, Jesus." And church family, I just ask you tonight that if you would like to commit in your hearts to make the mission of missions the mission in a lost and dying world, that as we stand for the invitation, you can pray in your seat, or if you want to come to the altar, or I'll pray with you, it doesn't matter. That's not really what it's for, but it's really for us to say, "God, I want to be on mission for you right here, even in Pasadena, Texas." God loves every 7.4 billion of the people of the world. And he's calling on God's church to go and share the gospel.